170, eh? I didn't know this was happening.
I'm going home. chorus again.
Bright the star of hope is shining, making my pathway brighter. Oh,
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
And trust in His
blessed holy name. Never a thought of stand behind Him. Jesus is with me this time.
Oh, I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
And trust in His
blessed holy name.
So much to thank Him for, so much.
see. He has been so good to me. And when I think of what he's done and where he has brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Well, sometimes while on the way I stop to kneel and say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And someday I'll reach heaven, sure, oh please, let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank him for. When I think of all the pain that he bore for me, I know that he shed just lift my voice and say thank you for saving grace. I've got so much to thank him for, and I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he has been so good. So much to thank him for.
One, we are a little bit hoarse this morning because we just got through singing a little bit too much, but I sure enjoy singing that little too much, don't you? What a blessing to be able to rejoice in song what God's able to do and what he continues to do for us. I trust you have your Bible, Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. This morning I want you to get your mind on what it really would really make a lot of sense to me. It makes a lot of sense whenever God begins to let you know where you really stand with him. Being born again, I've been saved not 60 years, but a little shy of it. And I can tell you that what we're going to read here today, I have not learned the things that I'm going to read. I've read them, kind of understand a little bit about it, but that don't mean I qualify. You see, God's grace is an amazing thing, and I hope before the day you'll listen, and I hope that you'll grab a little bit of the things that we have. Galatians chapter 5, hope you had time to get there. I want to read verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. May we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for the be able to sing the songs of Zion. God, I thank you for the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And God, I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on my road to heaven. But I pray, God, if there be one here, God, you straighten out their life. Only you can, God, I can't. And God, I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. When the writer here was writing this little book, he had to say some things that I know in studying. I know the Apostle Paul had a very, very educated background. He knew what, if you would just pay attention, he knew what he was talking about when it come time to talk about God. Now he knew in his, before he got saved, he knew about God the Father. He knew about the law. He knew what it meant to try to follow the law. Everything he'd learned and heard, he tried to put them in his heart, and he'd kind of go each step of the day with that in mind. When this new fang-dangle religion come along about Jesus, he didn't go along with that. He didn't have that in his mind. It didn't kind of work out to the kind of the scheme that he'd been raised. Now, when things don't work out like you've been raised, it's kind of hard to get contrariness out of the way. I've been very contrary. If I've learned something one way, it's hard for me to learn something different. I've always been kind of cantankerous about that. You can't hardly teach an old dog new tricks. But in this particular example, the Lord had talked to him on the road to Damascus. Not in the normal way. Not in the normal way. Well, you say, preacher, was Paul different? No. Paul was just stubborn, mule-headed. And the Apostle Paul, while he was going down that path, the Lord kind of picked him out just a little bit by sending a bright light that way. And when he sent that bright light that way, he began to talk to him while the others couldn't hear, but he could hear God. Now that kind of sounds familiar to me. That kind of relate to me. I may have not knew God, but all of a sudden I heard God. And what I heard from God didn't kind of please me. It wasn't a, now I lay me down to sleep type thing. It wasn't God is good and God is great. It was the type of thing that when God really spoke to me on that day, just like he did the Apostle Paul, he said, "You're a chosen vessel unto me." And you know, I never once thought in my mind that God would love me enough to choose me. Now, why did he choose me? I like Paul. Paul's a good writer. Paul can tell you about gentleness and joy and long-suffering and patience. He can talk some good stuff. I can't. I can't tell you the goodness that I've got on one hand. I bet you can't neither. Because if you say, "Well, I'm a pretty good mechanic," or "I'm a pretty good bulldozer operator," or "I'm a pretty good this or that," well, I ain't pretty much good for nothing. God didn't save me for my goodness. But this particular verse says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering." I could just go on and on, but I don't have the time. But I want you to hear this. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. One day the Lord Jesus was going on Calvary's cross to die. They'd been put him up there on that cross, and there was two other fellas next to him. And friend, in that condition, we'll never know what it was like, but on that condition, the pain and suffering was greater than anything you could possibly imagine. Greater than anything you could probably think about. And Jesus was up there suffering for all of mankind. Now you gotta understand, there was a whole lot going on, but still, even though there's a whole lot going on, there's one little fella on that cross that had no idea about righteousness. He had no idea about peace. He had no idea about joy. That thief on the cross had only get introduced to the Lord while the Lord was up there on that cross. We don't have any record of any other knowledge. But while he was up there on that cross, Jesus began to show himself really truly as Jesus can. He don't have to say a lot to be a lot. He don't have to do a lot to be able to accomplish what he wants in his heart. In fact, when the Lord was up there dying for man's sins, dying for the sins of the entire world, that thief on the cross saw Jesus, who Jesus really was. Can you imagine how bad it was? Can you imagine how shameful it was? Here they took their clothes, they nailed Jesus to the cross, they tied the others to the cross, and all that suffering and all that turmoil, all the wagging of the heads of the people, all the things that was going on. And not one time did that thief on the cross ever look at the surroundings. God began to show that thief on the cross himself. You know, it takes a lot to see yourself. It takes a lot. You can look in the mirror, but that don't really mean you're seeing yourself. You can have your spouse to be able to tell you all your wrongs. That don't mean you see yourself. But friend of mine, this verse here says the fruit of the Spirit is things like joy. You know, I read all the others, but joy. Where did a thief on the cross find joy? Where did he find joy? Was he happy he was on the cross? Was he rejoicing? Was he, man, I think joy and happiness are the same thing, but they're not. They're not. Friend, how many people do you know that suffer through things like cancer, different kinds of diseases, different kinds of problems? And in some of the situations that some of the people you might know, you think, man, I am so thankful God didn't put that on me. You ever said that? Sometimes I'm glad that God didn't give me this, that, and the other. Sometimes I'm thankful that I am blessed not to have that. I'm still thankful that I'm able to walk. I'm still thankful for the blessings that God give me. But sometimes you look at others and they're far worse shape than you're in. In fact, the thief on the cross, he was very unique because he said, the other thief, you know how he began to say, get us down? That fellow said, no, we deserve to be right where we're at today. We deserve to be right where we're at. Now, where do I find joy in that? Joy is not happiness. Joy is not happiness. I believe it would have been a good day. I believe it would have been a real good day when that woman that was going to be eat her last meal with her son, and that prophet of the Lord came along on that day and said, if you'll feed me, God will take care of you. I believe it was a good day when she fed that prophet and she went to the meal barrel and the oil and everything was just fine. I believe it was a good day the next day whenever she went to that barrel and went to that oil crew. I believe it was a good day the very next day. You know why? God shined on her. And you see, when God shines on you, you might say it was a happy day. But I believe she learned more than just being happy. I believe life is more than just being happy. Hey, you know what we could do today? We could have come to church and we can try to make ourselves happy by our actions, by our doings. We could do like Norman Vincent Peale and write books. Things are getting better and better and better. I got news for you. The only way things are getting better is not to try to seek after happiness, but let the fruit of the Spirit be joy. There's a difference. Hang with me just a little while. I'm going to different spots and you don't even have to turn. You can just kind of trust me that I'm going to read the right scripture, all right? But I want you to listen in the book of Romans chapter 14 and listen to verses 7. Listen to what it says in 14 verse 7. But none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Now, that don't sound like much, does it? But that means that I'm not sheltered in this world. I don't live to myself. In other words, whenever I got saved, the same privilege that you were blessed with is the same privilege that I was blessed with. God is not a respecter person. God doesn't look at the color of my skin. It doesn't look at my nationality. It doesn't look at none of those things. God looks at us through different eyes. How does he look through a friend of mine? He looks at us through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't for the blood, my friend, me and you would never be saved. Me and you, our life would have never been changed. In fact, it would have remained on the same course. We could have been like that other thief on the cross that said, Lord, if you're who you say you are, get yourself down and get us down also. We'd have looked at it that way. We'd have lived at it that way. But to have joy, that must mean that God does something more for you than just trying to satisfy the flesh. The joy That man only lived one day for the Lord. One day. Not even a full day. He lived one day for God. What could God do in one day? I'm going to tell you, I don't get a lot accomplished in a day. I can work hard from the sun up to sun down. I can work hard until my body says, whoop, that's enough. But I got news for you. I can't accomplish a lot in one day. But the thief on the cross was different. It was not in the activities that the thief on the cross did. He couldn't. He was tied, and all he was doing was waiting to die. But God done something greater than just let the man die. Now, God can do something in your life greater than letting you just live until you die. Because the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, a judgment. But there is an appointment that we'll all make with death. And what are we going to accomplish? What are we going to do? Are we going to try to make prosperity be our theme? The fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. Oh, I believe the thief on the cross experienced joy. Listen to what it says in John chapter 15, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Listen, one more verse. Listen to this part right here. When you believe on God, when you believe on God, what changes? What changes? The other thief, remember, get us down. That's all he believed. But when the other thief said, look, we're in the same condemnation. Look, whenever he used that terminology, he realized believing in God was the difference. Believing in God makes the difference in your life. But that's not joy. No. Just because I believe in God don't give me joy. Oh, you say, preach, well, it should. Well, just wait on a little bit. Believing in God must let you see a little more. Listen, what Jesus say to that man? Well, we know that one. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Did that man have a knowledge of any? He couldn't read the Bible. The Bible didn't exist for that time. How in the world could God give that man that was dying, within hours of dying, how could he give that man joy? If not, is not the same Spirit that lives within you, that lives within me, does that same Spirit not exist in everyone that's born again? And if that same Spirit is in everyone, how can God let a fruit of the Spirit be joy? That must mean there's something more to life than just trying to be happy. Trying to be happy. Because I want to tell you something, it's hard to sometimes be happy. It's hard sometimes when you're struggling through life to have happiness. But if you're born again, it's not a struggle to have joy. There's a whole line of thinking that I want you to think about, because it's what's God that's within us. And this one is going to be just a little hard for you. But so just listen to me. The book of Ezra, the third chapter, and this is where I want to really take a minute to. Listen to the book of Ezra, the third chapter, verses 11, 12, and 13. Listen. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We like that, don't we? His mercy endureth forever toward Israel, and all the people shouted with a great shout. Now, we as in a country in my younger days would be around custom shouting more so than we're seeing today. But in those time frames where it was kind of a memory, that was kind of a normal thing for people to rejoice. Why? Were they happy? That's why they shouted? Were they happy? What makes a person shout? If it's happiness, I want to tell you, we can bring in a comedian and let him tell all of his jokes and we can be happy. But a comedian can only tell something that will tickle the old human flesh. But listen, here's what they sang the chorus. They began to praise and give thanks unto the Lord because He's good and His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. But that's not all. When they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. What I didn't tell you was God's house had been destroyed. And when God's house is destroyed, friend of mine, if you love the Lord, you want God's house. You want to go home. Ain't nothing like it. Boy, I was so tickled to death. Day I got out of the military and basic training and all that to be able to say, I'm going home. I was tickled to death. You know what made me tickled to death? Because home was a whole lot better than where I was. Whole lot better. Listen, I just made the outward. Friend, what God will begin to work in me whenever I got saved was the same thing that He worked on with that thief on the cross. He began to put a little joy. And when He put a little joy in there, when that foundation of the church was laid on that day, it caused the people to shout. Now, there's a lot of folks don't go to church, don't care to go to church, but I sure am glad whenever I get to go to church. There's nothing like it. I could have had a bad day this morning. Boy, when about the first or second song, all of a sudden that day starts looking a little better. Because you know what you begin to think on? You quit thinking about your troubles and you think about what God's done. All of a sudden that fruit of the Spirit is joy. All of a sudden it wasn't there. All of a sudden, you didn't realize it was there. But then all of a sudden, God put joy in a troubled heart. But He didn't get all the folks there. No, let me read one more verse. The Bible said, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, but many of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men. That meant they were old. They were ancient men that had seen the first house. Watch that. They saw the first house. When you might be able to tear that house down. You might be able to tell me I can't go to church because I'm a hindrance to church. You ever been told that? You ever been in a place where you feel like you're not welcome when you go to the house of God? You ever been in a place whenever they sing the songs, you get nothing out of it? You ever been in a place whenever they pray, it seemed like they're just praying a whole bunch of words, but they ain't talking to God. You see, all of a sudden God puts joy, because you may be old, but when you saw that first house, you appreciate what they're building right now. You appreciate what God's doing. Oh, thank God. Thank God we still get an altar in a church house. I don't ever want to forget how I knelt in an altar. Didn't look nothing like that. But it was an altar that I made God. I'm still thankful. I get to read from an old Bible that my daddy and others people a long time before me read from. I'm still thankful. You see, sometimes God puts joy. And the simplest little things, these old people saw this next house being built. Now watch what them folks had to do. They were dignified. Oh, they were dignified. Listen,
Many of them folks, the Levites, the chief priests and the ancient men, when they seen the first house, when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, wept. Wept with a loud voice. They didn't cry silently. They didn't shed a tear and wipe it off, afraid somebody go see them cry. Friend of mine, you know what God did? God put a little joy in their heart. He put joy where there was no joy. There was no happiness that the world can give you that'll last. I'm glad to know that God puts joy in your heart. And that's what they began to do. And when they got joy in their heart, all of a sudden they weep with a loud voice. But they ain't done. Them folks ain't done. Listen, they wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy. You know what happens? You know what happens? I believe the thief on the cross could have shouted on that cross because what Jesus had done for him had put joy in his heart. Joy. Whenever God does it, the world can't take it away. They couldn't shut me up if they tried. You know why? Because, friend, there's a difference between just being happy. There's a difference. Two books over, you just stay where you're at, but two books over, there's a little book called Esther. Now, I ain't got time to explain Esther. We sure don't have time, but just take my word for it. Listen. Verse 14 of the 8th chapter. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out before hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen. Man, I wish we had time. And purple. Man. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. Now that's pretty good, but that ain't good enough. Here's what makes it good. God's folks, the Bible says the Jews had light. Now they wasn't talking about the sunshine. The Jews had light and gladness. Here's where it shows you the difference. The Jews had light and gladness and joy. If happiness was the same thing, then God just wasted a couple of words. But He didn't. Let me finish it. And joy, as the Bible said, had light and gladness and joy and in honor. All of a sudden, they had what they didn't have before. From where they were, if you could read that, Esther, just for a little bit, from where they were to where they are right now, all of a sudden, they began to see. I'm not talking about light now, but they had light. But they had gladness. They had a reason. They had a reason to rejoice. But then God give them joy. Now, just like them same old men, He let them eyes see once again that they'd build a church. My Bible says, "I hath not seen, nor ears heard, neither in the heart of the man." Man, when God begins to reveal stuff, you can say, "Well, it made me happy." But friend, that fruit of that Spirit is something that will last when nobody else is around. Greg talks about it. Others talked about it. I live in a dignified subdivision, so they don't allow me to sing while riding a lawnmower. But there's a lot of folks that sing. You know that ain't true. But the truth of it is, hey, some good singing time in the shower, on the lawnmower, whatever you might do. Don't ride with me on the car on the way to school or away from school. Why? Oh, there's a lot of gladness. There's a song that says,
is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Remember another song, there's joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Why is that? Why do we make a separation from just being happy? Because God can take a thief on a cross and put joy in his heart. Now, you want to tell your children, I want you to grow up and love the Lord? Or you just want to live in front of them? And even though you may be having hard times, you can still say how good God is and puts joy in your heart. I hate that we're living in a country that we're living in right now with all the turmoil. I really do. I really like 4th of July. When we're kind of talking about how our country's done and a lot of good things and all that. I really enjoyed that. But you know what? That's right, brother. It didn't last long. Man, we got so much bickering going on. You know what the Bible says? A kingdom divided won't stand. I'm glad some of my kinfolks have done gone on. I've said that before. I'm glad they don't have to suffer and go through what we're going through. Because I still love our country. Some of us is in the military, whenever we put on that uniform, all the things and all the pains and all the suffering that's going on when you put on a uniform. But I'm still proud to be able to say I served in the military. Why? Because I still like what goes on. We got freedom to go to church. We got freedom. And it's joy that God put in here that makes me know that I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, thank God. Now, if you're here today, and you don't have joy in your heart, getting the same wagon that I was in. But when God saved my soul, all of a sudden joy moved in where it never been joy before. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? If you're just trying to live a life and exist and go on, blink an eye and your life's going to be over. Blink an eye. But I got news for you. If you live for the Lord, you'll hear what the Lord will have to say. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man lived one day for the Lord. What if you were given the privilege of living one day for the Lord? That could be today. Bible says, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We never know. And whatever God has for us, for me, let the Lord's will be done. How about you? Let's have a song of invitation. Don't know your heart or your life, but I know the Lord. I know the reason why I'm here today. It's not because of saying, oh, it's a good thing to do on a Sunday. Man, when we first got here this morning, it was cloudy and dreary. Now the sun's shining out there right now. But it'd been very easy. Oh, I won't go to church today because it's raining. Friend of mine, I don't let the circumstances be my guide. I want my heart, my soul, to be my guide. I've trusted my soul to Jesus. Have you? Do you know Him a free pardon of sin? May we stand on our feet and sing a verse of a song. If God's speaking to you, come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. Come to know Him.